Welcome to another podcast of American Christian. This or these really are the days, aren't they? I mean, when you think about how we're in this place in time, right? Like one of the things that would date this particular podcast would be the James Webb Telescope was just, you know, launched, I don't know, however many weeks ago. You know, and the expanse of the stars and the universe and taking pictures and sending back, you know, all this data. It's a look at the creation story. The expanse of these stars and universes, galaxies. Hundreds of thousands of them. And here we sit. Here we are. You know, a good friend of mine, she, her email address is, "What is your life for?" And I think that that's interesting, right? When we sit and we take a look at where we are right now, just in this place and time, in this segment of time right here. What is your life for? I mean, we are walking through time, moment by moment. So in our last podcast, we were talking about latter days, right? And in the latter days, there's some things that have happened if we fast forward and move up into 2022. Because these are latter days as well. But I want to move you into Isaiah chapter 2, and let's look at verses 1 through 3. And it says this, "The word that Isaiah the son of Amos saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem, and it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow into it." Verse 3, and many people shall go and say, "Come ye, let us go to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem." Amen. Isaiah chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. The last days are here now. I mean, I could have said that yesterday. I could have said that a year ago. Last days are here. They're here now. He will teach us. He's going to teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths. That's what we're doing right now. We're walking in his way of living. In Psalm 122, it says this, "I was glad when they said unto me, let's go into the house of the Lord." How do we feel about that? Right? Like, how do we feel about going into the house of the Lord? "Let's go into the house of the Lord." And if we read that from the second covenant, the word of the same living God, confirming the words that we read in the first covenant, let's go into Hebrews 10 and look at 16 through 25. It reads like this, "This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and into their minds I will write them, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Now where remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he has consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us now draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast to the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us be considered. Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and unto good works, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together, as in the manner of some is, but exhorting one another so much more as you see the day approaching. So here's the thing, right? Right off the top of as you see the day approaching. So if you don't see the day approaching, believer, listener, if you don't see the day approaching, does that mean that you're not very interested in the gathering together of things? You're missing it? There are other people that are seeing this. Like, I get that people can go to church religiously and that it does them absolutely no good because they're just not engaged. It's a rule in the household to show up and to go to church. Now, whatever that looks like, remember, there are 7 billion people on the planet, right? So there's a lot of variance that happens in church and denominations and the reasons why people go to church. But what we're getting out of Hebrews 10 here is that the writer's saying, but exhorting, that means building up one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. We need one another. There is what is known as a corporate anointing. If we look at the word corporate, it means to work or act together jointly, right? There's a common purpose. There's a benefit for us to be there in the corporate anointing, when God's people show up into one place, parts of the body coming together, right? Parts of the body coming together under the head. What happens in that place? What happens when that happens, right? That's the question. That's a good question. People coming from all over into one place to join in love and to join in faith together so that we can learn his ways. That's what we read earlier. To learn his ways. Out of Isaiah, right? Chapter 2. To learn his ways. His way of living. That's what we're trying to accomplish here. So, you know, again, going back into the previous 2 podcasts, when we talk about victorious living, we have to stomp out and crucify our flesh. It's the fleshly desires. It's the things that are causing a turbulence within your own life so that you are having a hard time walking in this new found way of living that Christ is calling you into. Amen? My goodness sakes alive. We really are under this new covenant. The covenant, if we look at Hebrews 10:16, again, it says, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts. In their minds I will write them. Verse 17, then he adds, their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more. Bonus. Now, where there is remission of these, there's no longer an offering of sin. So let's pound just for a sec. Let's just look at this covenant, this new covenant, right? It's established in the new blood. It's established in the blood of Jesus. It's no longer established in the blood of bulls and goats, right? It's established in the blood of Jesus. In the indwelling person, sin is rejecting the indwelling life of Christ. Think about that. See, sin doesn't want that to happen. That's what. And so when we're in the flesh, when we're looking and sowing into the flesh, when we're partaking in the fleshly things, the desires and those passions, those are the things right there that are trying to reject the indwelling life of Christ, the blessedness of the dwelling. We don't really need anything else. He's going to live it out in and through us. We're coming into partnership, right, with what he wants to do. And that rolls us over into that other side of Galatians 5, 22, talking about the fruit of the Spirit, right? The love, joy, patience, kindness, right? Those nine attributes that come through the fruit of the Spirit. So that the path of selfish desires that lead to iniquity, it leads into sin, and that leads us into missing the mark. And when we miss the mark, then we're missing the whole thing. But when we have him, when we have Christ, we have the target. And the target lives in us. And the he's telling us where to aim, where to get to, what to do. Right? No, I'm still here. But I'm thinking about the remission. Now, where there is remission of these, there's no longer an offering for sin. I'm wondering what does the Amplified have to say to that? Let's just come in here and hook in. The Amplified says, from verse 10:18, now where there is absolute remission, where there's the forgiveness and the cancellation of your penalties, of these sins and law-breaking, there's no longer any offering made to atone for sin. You see, because it's one and done. He has won it. It is done. Your sins, forgiven, gone. Since we have this full freedom, we were talking yesterday about the liberty, right? In Galatians 5, talks about the liberty. Let's just review that for a second. I know you've been, you're driving, you're working, you're tooling, whatever it is that you're doing, just settle in. I'll do the work. I'll do the work. Let me go out here and take a look at this for you, okay? Because we were there yesterday. The liberty. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free, and do not be entangled again with a yoke of bondage. That's full freedom that Hebrews is talking about here. Therefore, brethren, since we have full freedom, verse 19, and confidence to enter into the Holy of Holies by the power and the virtue in the blood of Jesus, by this flesh, this new and living way which he initiated and dedicated and opened for us through the separating curtain, that curtain, the veil, the Holy of Holies, that is through his flesh we get into that spot. And since we have such a great and wonderful and noble priest who rules over the house of God, amen, let us all come forward and draw near with true, honest, and sincere hearts in an unqualified assurance and absolute conviction endangered by faith, that is, by the leaning of the entire human personality on God, in absolute trust and confidence of his power and wisdom and goodness, having our hearts sprinkled, you've heard this before, and purified from a guilty and evil conscience, and our bodies cleansed with pure water. That's a smoking hot deal, right? When we come into this place, it So getting back to provoking one another unto love and to good works, right? Not forsaking the assembling together. Being able to see that we are in these last days. And if you're not seeing that, there could be a problem, right? If you're not seeing it, that there's not an urgency any longer to gather together with other believers, right? We're just saying here within this parachurch organization, we're saying, look, you need to get into the mark where other believers are living and where they are, where they're gathering together, and you need to become more and more part of the body. You think about someone who's been paralyzed, right? A body that's been paralyzed. What can it do without arms and legs? What can this body do? It just has a head. And a paralyzed body can't do very much. It can't participate. It's not mobile. It can't work. It can't go anywhere. But if movement starts to come back into the body, right, when the parts start drawing together its strength and there's a work that's being done in that body where the legs can move, now you have some form of mobility. But even in that mobility, what about the fine motor skills? That's really where what we're trying to get into as we're moving as a corporate body, is getting into the finer motor skills so that our children and our children's children, so that the Word of God becomes robust and it can flow out of us, so that compassion, so that the things of the Spirit, right, can move in and begin to do work, not only on the inner man, but on the inner man of other men and women. Right? Because we're putting this on, this fruit that's coming from within us and outwardly. If we go, again, if we take a look at what we're looking at here, again, back into Galatians, we're talking about living victoriously, not living cautiously, living victoriously, living through a courage and through gathering together and laying aside differences. That the fruit of the Spirit working its way in and through you, the love, joy, peace, long-suffering, the kindness, goodness, and faithfulness, the gentleness and self-control, that when that begins to do its work, that begins to crush the flesh, the lust of the flesh. It crushes out adultery and fornication, and uncleanness, and lewdness, and idolatry, and the sorcery, and hatred. It covers a multitude of sins. What does love does? Love, when love starts to do its work, amen? All right. So let's take a look about, we start to become concerned about, maybe you're concerned about gas prices, maybe you're concerned about your grocery bill, or your utilities, or how you're going to get through this week, or how you're going to get to the next paycheck, kind of a deal. But look, it's covered in Matthew 6, 28 through 33. Let me read it to you out of the Amplified. Why should you be anxious about clothes? Consider the lilies of the field, and learn thoroughly how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his magnificence, the excellence and dignity and grace, that was not arrayed like one of these. But God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is alive and green, and tomorrow is tossed into the furnace, will he not much more surely clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, don't worry and be anxious, saying, what are we going to have to eat? Or what are we going to have to drink? What are we going to have to wear? Verse 32, for the Gentiles, the heathen, they wish for and crave and diligently seek all these things. And your heavenly Father knows well what you need. But seek, in other words, to aim and strive for, seek first the kingdom of God. You know this verse, right? Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom. First, seek first all of his kingdom and his righteousness. His way of doing and being right. That's what righteousness is. And then all these things taken together will be given to you. So don't worry about being anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will have worries and anxieties of its own. Sufficient for each day is its own trouble. We walk through this day-to-day approach of being in Christ, living in victory. Victorious living is crucifying the flesh. And you can do this. There is no temptation that will overtake you that's not common to men. Other people have overcome. You can overcome. I can overcome this temptation. I can overcome this. I want to know what it looks like on the other side of it. I want to know what it looks like on the other side of the temptation. That's kind of a big deal, right? I mean, if you're always giving in to the temptation, what does it look like on the other side when you're actually pressing in through faith and believing that God is giving you enough strength to get to the other side? What's that look like? Hey, you know what that looks like? It looks like victory. It looks like, hey, look what Christ did in and through me. Hallelujah. And that builds the testimony, my friend. We're trying to build testimony here. We're trying to work in and through all the possibilities that God has for us. And I want to know what they are. Hallelujah. Glory to God. There's an enormous amount of very hateful things going on right now in our nation. Matter of fact, to date, this particular podcast, Pelosi is flying into Taiwan a little later on today. There has been a threat by the Chinese government to shoot her plane down. Now, right? Like, what? You know, as much as I do not agree with much of what Pelosi has to say, she is an American, and she may be a very divisive person when it comes to how a Christian wants to live his life here. But she's an American, and we protect Americans. But, I mean, that's just a crazy thing to me. Anyway, I'm not going to go much further into it, but I will say that. Look, Philippians 2:13 through 16 says this, "For it is God which works in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure, to do all things without murmuring and disputing." Coming together. When we're coming together and we're not murmuring and we're not complaining and we're not disputing, that we can come together and be blameless and harmless, to be the sons of God without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. That's Philippians 2:15, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom you shine as light. There's no effort when the light is turned on. There it is. Light is there. Darkness isn't working its way out of a room. It's gone. Amen? Glory to God. I just wanted to know what that takes. What does that say in the Amplified there? Philippians 2:16. Holding out to it and offering to all men the word of life, so that in the day of Christ I may have something of which exultantly to rejoice and to glory in, that I did not run my race in vain or spend my labor to no purpose. Hallelujah. That's good. Holding out and offering to all men the word of life. I mean, how often do we do that, really? You know, you might find yourself closed in from time to time. Like, man, like I, you know, there are times in my life, and you probably experience the same thing, where you got a group of guys around, you got a group of gals around you. You know, but you're pressing in, and the further that you press in, the fewer people that are following behind you. That's kind of what it is until you get to like to that next place, right? That next open space. It's like, you know, like in my mind, I think about spelunking. I think about, you know, people that explore caves, right? You come into this big open cavern, and you got all your gear, all your stuff is there. You're all fascinated by the new look of this place that's never been seen before by any of you nor any of all of mankind. It's all sitting on a digital image right now. And if you can get out of that place, you could expose this to the rest of the world and people would see how grand and spectacular it is. But, you know, you have this desire to move into what is in the next cavern. What's there and how do we get to it? And we have, how much equipment do we have? And how much gear do we have? How much air supply do we have? How much food do we have? If we're going to continue to fit through these tight spaces, can we bring everybody with us? Is everybody else willing to go where you're willing to go, right? That kind of an idea. And I want to be victorious. I want to be victorious. I want to be on the winning side of things. I'm pressing in. I really feel, you know, seriously, not even just quoting the Bible, but really quoting the Bible and saying that, look, there's a prize in this that I want to see. And part of that, what I'm going to see, and part of that reward is here on this earth here. And part of that reward is eternal. And it's going off into a place that is could be far from me. I could be wrong. I mean, this all could end in a day or two or 6 minutes. But I want to press in and know that by pressing in, I'm drawing closer. First of all, I'm drawing closer to him. And second of all, there's a reward in it. I want to see what that is. I want to know what that is. I want to be able to diffuse mankind and the problems that he's being sucked into, because there is a power of darkness that they are not protected from. Think about that. They have no say unless one of us get to them. They're just going to rope right in and they're going to fall into hell. And we're here joining together with him, our Father, and our brother Jesus, to gather in as many as we can into this family. Don't let people be destroyed by the darkness. Victorious living is by walking out what Christ has put in you, walking out this Galatians 5:22, walking out love, joy, and peace, long-suffering. I mean, start with kindness, goodness. Be gentle with people. Get control of yourself when you find yourself in an anxious situation. Self-control. You know, things have to be in a peculiar place in order for you to have control over yourself. So as you see the day drawing near, as you see the days drawing near, we need to gather together. We have to come together. You're going to need a little self-control. Control over yourself. to get yourself back into those four walls, to get back into that place. You know, it's kind of an ebb and flow thing, right? I mean, I want to get into the four walls because that's where my brethren are. I want that camaraderie. But then on the other side of that is like, hey, we got to take what we've learned in here from our leaders, from our pastors, and take it out there so that we can bring them in and out and in and out. And what is that? In and out. It looks like breathing. In and out and in and out. I want you to have victory. I want you to live victoriously. Amen? We have been qualified. We've been qualified according to Philippians 4:12. It says we are to give thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. You're qualified. Listen to me. You're qualified to be a partaker in the inheritance. The inheritance are the promises. The inheritance is the yes and the amen from Father. Pressing into that, be a partaker. You've been delivered from the power of darkness. He has conveyed, he has transported you into the kingdom of his Son, to do this very work, to lay hands on the sick, to cast out demons, to raise the dead, to cleanse the lepers. It is a very honorable calling to move into these things. But it's not just for clergy. It's not. It's for you. It's for kingdom dwellers. Amen? So, Father, in the name of Jesus, I come to you, Lord. Lord, and I thank you for the redemption through your blood and the forgiveness of sins that you have laid upon my brothers and sisters listening right now, that you are the image of the invisible God. You are the firstborn over all creation, that by you all things were created that are in heaven and on earth, things that are visible and invisible, whether they are thrones and dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through you and for him. And Lord, you are before us. You are before all things, and in you all things consist. You hold it all together. You are holding it all together and confidently. And it's not by threads we are held together, by the strong arm of our Lord and God. He is the angel of the Lord's army. He is the Son of God. He is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He is the head of the body. He is the head of the church, who is the beginning and the firstborn from the dead in all things. So, Father, thank you. Thank you for each listener. Lord, I pray, God, that they will go out and be fruitful and multiply in the things, Lord, that you have instructed them in to do. Lord, I thank you, God, that you continue to ground them in their faith. Lord, that their boldness will come forth like a lion. Lord, hallelujah. I thank you, God, that you have called them into darkness, into dark places, to shine light in dark places, to rescue them, to pull them out, to pull them out of the fires of hell, Lord. I just thank you for that, God. That's me. I want to do that. That's who I want to be. Send me, Lord. Send me. I will go. Amen. Amen and amen.